Talks. It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Monday, December 22nd. I'm Patricia Naft. Earlier this month, we reported on the Valley Charter Initiative. It's a group of parents and educators trying to open a Waldorf-inspired public charter school in Paonia. A major step in opening would be recognition from the Delta County School Board. On Wednesday, the five-member board unanimously denied the request. Kurt Clay is the assistant superintendent for the school district. He tells KBNF's Laura Pomisano the board cited seven reasons for rejecting the charter.
There was a large concern with the curriculum from the standpoint that it doesn't match up with the state. In fact, several places in the application it talks about testing not being a priority. Not that tests need to drive education or curriculum, but in the Waldorf education, it's really not a priority at all.
Initiative officials say the Waldorf method focuses on teaching kids to use their hands and discourages the use of technology in the classroom. Clay says the board also cited declining district enrollment and concerns over finances and long-term sustainability as reasons for charter denial. The initiative can appeal the board's decision to the state. A few months ago, the Colorado River flowed into the ocean for the first time in years. It was due to a pulse of water released from reservoirs upstream. The modern normal is that it just dries up before it reaches its natural destination. Recently, a progress report was released looking at the effects of that water pulse. KBNF's Jake Ryan talked with Tay Wiles, the online editor for High Country News, who's been following the story.
A few months ago, we reported on the Colorado River flowing into the ocean for the first time in years. The modern normal is that it just dries up before it reaches its natural destination. It was all due to a pulse of water released from reservoirs upstream. Recently, a progress report was released looking at the effects of that water pulse. Tay Wiles is the online editor for High Country News and has been following the story.
So the results that we've seen, we're really just seeing preliminary results right now. They just put out a progress report, and we've seen a 26% increase in what they call greenness. So they have satellite images of the area since 2000, and they have seen more vegetation. But a lot of that, I've been told, is actually invasive salt cedar, which isn't a great thing. So we're looking more for cottonwoods and willows, but increasing greenness is still progress. They have seen more birds coming to the area just because there was more standing water, so migratory birds are making use of that. But again, we can't really know if that's the real long-term progress for birds. We won't know for a while because that'll depend on the long-term comeback of cottonwoods and willows. So one of the people I spoke to recently was Francisco Zamora, who works for the Sonoran Institute, which has offices around the Southwest, but is based in Tucson. When I spoke to him, he was down in Mexico because the Sonoran Institute basically helps run the largest restoration site in the Delta, which is called the Laguna Grande Restoration Site. And they did a bunch of hydro seeding right before the pulse happened in the spring. So they collected a bunch of native seeds, they dried them out, then they sprayed them over wet soil in the area. And then when the flood came, it essentially helped the water tables rise and kept the soil wet enough so that the seeds could germinate. And he said that at this point, they've seen a ton more willow and cottonwood than they have in recent years. And so that's a success for them. But again, they'll keep monitoring that and see next year if it's still as green as it is now.
Is there a plan for another pulse in the spring?
As far as I know, there is not a plan for another pulse.
Well, without another pulse and with the drought that seems endless, do you think that there's going to be enough water to sustain a future delta even with all these new seedlings, et cetera?
That is the big question. I don't think anyone really has an answer to that quite yet, but the hope is that with this data from this experiment, they can come up with some kind of plan to do more of these in a really strategic way, not just from the Morales Dam, but from irrigation canals throughout the Delta. And I think a lot of it comes down to how we use the Colorado River, you know, before it gets to the Morales Dam. One of the things that I think is really interesting about this story is how people who are not in the Delta, people who are using the Colorado River, are responding intellectually and emotionally to this story. People were so inspired by it. And even though it's not their communities that the river was dried out and that the river is returning to. And I think that bodes well for water use in the West. I mean, I think that shows that people can actually empathize with a delta they've never set their eyes on, with communities and people they've never met. I mean, maybe that bodes well for new conservation programs and municipal efficiency standards and things like that. I mean, that ultimately is what is going to determine the future of the Delta in my mind.
That was Tay Wiles with High Country News Magazine.
The state just released its employment outlook for November. Colorado's unemployment rate continues to drop. In October, it was 4.3% and has moved down to 4.1%. The last time it was this low was in January of 2008. KVNF's Laura Pomisano spoke to Joe Winter, a senior economist with the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment, about the outlook.
The Colorado Department of Labor and Employment has released its job report for November. Joe, what were the findings?
Non-farm payroll estimates decreased by 2,500 on a seasonally adjusted basis from October to November, with the largest declines being found in leisure and hospitality, and in professional and business services, as well as construction. There's nothing unusual about that in the construction end of things we had an extremely chilly November. And as far as the leisure and hospitality, ski season, because of the dryness, even though it was cold, may have slowed down the start of the ski season a bit. Now, along with that, though, we had a small drop in the unemployment rate of 0.2 percentage point from October at 4.3 down to 4.1% in November.
The national unemployment rate is 5.8%, and Colorado's unemployment rate is 4.1%. What does that mean for the state?
The fact that the Colorado unemployment rate is considerably under that of the nation as a whole is a positive feature of the diversity and strength of the Colorado economy. In fact, we've been able to maintain a fairly steady growth of people reporting themselves as employed for the last 3 years, even while we've had in migration into the state. That is to say, we're serving a larger population and still are able to find some employment growth. As the nation as a whole, although the unemployment rate is dropping, it is not nearly at the rate that we find in the state.
What do you think the economy will look like in 2015?
Well, I don't normally get into what I think the economy is doing over the next year or so, simply because I spent all my time on what it's up to now. However, the University of Colorado's Leeds School of Business came out earlier this month, and they're projecting employment growth of about 3%, and I don't see a reason to argue with them.
That was Joe Winter, a senior economist for the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Unemployment rates in Delta, Mesa, and Montrose County remain above the state average, but still below the national average. State officials say the economy on the western slope is improving, but at a slower pace when compared to the Front Range. Colorado farmers could benefit from a more open trade relationship with Cuba following President Obama's announcement about renewed diplomatic relations. Tim Larson is with the Colorado Department of Agriculture. He says the new direction from the White House could give agriculture exporters an easier way to compete with other countries looking to send food to Cuba. He says the biggest roadblock has been financing for big trade deals.
Yeah, it's not going to be an overnight success. I think the industry has expressed interest in the past and will continue to be interested to see, can they add Cuba as another key market?
Colorado's agriculture industry has sent commodities like wheat and dry beans to Cuba before. If farm groups are able to break into Cuba's market for beef and corn, Larson says the result could be a multi-million dollar boost for Colorado farmers. Up next, Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.